This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Saturday, 4 April, year of our Lord 2024, 184 and a wake up to election day, 6 months to election day starting tomorrow, but it's actually sooner than that. I think North Carolina starts in early September. The rest of us, all the early voting is going to be late September to October. So it's game on. One of the reasons we're doing this is that this audience has changed the arc of history. Particularly those of you that were with us back in 14 and 15 with President Trump through his first term. Then those of you that came and rallied in 20 when you saw the Summer of Love, had the massive victory in 2020 that was stolen, right? We didn't close that one, was stolen. Particularly those that came and joined this group in early 2021 when President Trump was a pariah and they sent him back like a lion in winter down to Mar-a-Lago, and he made, I think, one of the most courageous choices in the history of this republic, to return and say, no, I'm going to reclaim my administration. Come now for his third victory in his second term. You've bent the arc of history. How? Your confidence has created a reality. And in that confidence, that optimism, that subjective reality, you've made an objective reality. Think about that for a second. You, this audience, you've changed from having that confidence. And yes, Trump's our guy and Trump can do it. MAGA can win. These principles, we know we can win on this and we're not going to back off. We're not going to quit. Even though we have losses on occasion, and sometimes it looks like, man, it's a cloudy day and I just can't do this anymore. You've changed the objective reality of this country. Why do you think we curate? The mainstream media and the pundits and the uniparty and the ruling class of this country hate your guts. They hate you more than they hate Trump. He just happens to be the target in the foreground. We do this to steal you for the fight ahead because, hey, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now we're getting into it. Go back to 15, go back to 16, go back to Trump's term, go back to 2020, go back to the COVID and the pandemic and the Summer of Love and the run-up and stealing the election and the big fight and January 6th and Trump going his line of winter back to Mar-a-Lago and then all the 2 years with Fox banning him, dumping on him, DeSantis, Youngkin, all of it. You ain't seen nothing yet. So steel yourself. And remember, they're going to talk about this for hundreds of years to come. Dave, we know we're on the side of the righteous. We have the understanding of what the problem is. We put it out here. And that's why, oh, gosh, Bannon, those guys were talking about this 2 years ago. How'd they come to be? Because we get guys like Eric Prince, like Colonel Derek Harvey, like Dave Walsh, like Dave Brad, people that, you know, oh, I kind of heard that guy, and you hear it and you see it and then you go check it out and then you see what you see. The veil comes down off. You see it. You see it. And then you change history. That's what this is about. That's what this show's about. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here to make jokes and hang out like, buddies, and we're going to joke it up and laugh it up. That's not this show. Other shows do that and they do it damn well. Not here. We're about political, societal combat. And you're the tip of the spear of the legions. Dave Brat, walk me through. You got some charts. I want to make sure our audience got something to chew on, right? Because you teach like a postgraduate. I'll tell you, the economics and capital markets here is like postgraduate level. So if you have a high school degree and you're a thing of the show and you follow along, you're getting what they teach in like the second year of Harvard Business School. Dave Brat.
Yeah, I don't toot my own horn. This is due to you, the Oxford Don, but you're getting better than what they teach you at Harvard, because we don't just do mathematical models, right? We give you the history, the ethics, the morality, how it fits into the Judeo-Christian West.
Yes.
And I got a few charts that fit into the broader story. I'm a free market guy, right? So ordinarily, I don't like taxes, but I'm going around talking to my free market guys and whatever, and they're into these pristine, elegant mathematical models. When the world is at kinetic war, sorry, you know, the models never worked in the past. And so the charts I'm about ready to give you shed a new wrinkle on what the super rich have been up to over the last decades. If Denver wants to put up the first chart, it shows the 400 richest Americans paid more than half of their income in taxes back in the 60s, right? So the super rich paid over half of their incomes. And this is back when we didn't have problems and economics did work somewhat, right? Because even the robber barons and the Gilded Ages, they were investing in capital equipment. You know, I think Henry Ford plowing money back into capital, putting capital in the hands of the American worker. When you put capital in the hands of the American worker, magical things happen because the American people are great. When you reduce the American people to nothingness, that what we're currently doing now, when you ship all the manufacturing abroad to China, when you sell out your country, when you use cheap illegal labor and displace Americans to enhance your own profits, we got a problem on our hands. Houston, you have broken the social contract. So I'm still a capitalist. I'm still a free market guy. But you got to be crazy to think everything's the same. Next chart, Denver, here's the massive change. You will see over the last few decades, the amount the super rich paid goes from over half down to just 23% on this chart. And when you put it together, right, the next chart, Denver, shows the convergence. The top line is the decline in the amount the super rich pay. And now, based on their wealth, the 26 top billionaires paid an average income tax rate of just 4.8% over the recent 6 years. Let me say that again. Based on their wealth growth, and this is all at the next chart, I'll show you where to find it. 26 top billionaires paid an average income tax rate of just 4.8%, right? So not even the 23%. This gets very complex with realized versus unrealized and wealth taxes. And I don't want to hit the great American manufacturers. There's some great heroes out there in the private sector. That's not what we're talking about here. But the next chart, Denver, this is where you can find tax fairness. Up at the top line, you'll see Jeff Bezos with effective tax rate on reported income of 23%. The next yellow box, effective tax rate on wealth growth at just 1%, right? 1%. And you'll see some big numbers there under wealth growth, $105 billion in wealth growth for one person. So that's fine unless you're getting your money with China deals, unless you're a monopoly, unless you have federal, state, and local government contracts, which basically make you a monopolist. If any of those are the case, then sorry, your cheap, low tax rates have to come to an end, and you need to pay your fair share, and we need to rebuild the American workers, bring the capital back to the states. And then finally, I did some China research. You know, everybody, we haven't been covering that as much. But China is having some issues, but they're fighting back. In the next chart, Denver, if you want to show it, they're probably going aggressive right now and devaluing the yuan, right, their currency. And the reason they're doing that is they were trying to head toward a consumer economy like we have, right? 70% of our economy is the consumer. They've just had an investment economy. They've coerced through force, right? The government owns a monopoly on the use of force, is a famous definition that goes back to fascism. So they can coerce their people to save 40%, which turns into capital investment, and they shove that around. But there's only so many ghost cities and bullet trains and infrastructure projects you can do. So they're taking their money back from the rest of the world. The Belt and Road is collapsing. They're navel-gazing right now, right? They're looking inward. Xi's last speech said we're going full-on Marxist-Leninist. There's going to be no more economic reforms, right? That means working with the global economy. And we're on a war footing. No more China language in China, right? No more Confucian stuff, no more Buddhist peace and harmony stuff. And so this devaluation they're doing is an attack. Yeah. They're trying to sell more of their products to us, and it's up to us to respond.
You can also – this is what Yellen's yammering about, oh, their excess manufacturing and their excess capacity. This is the problems we identify with Trump. This is about the decoupling. Yep. You can tell there's something going on, folks, because they're hoarding gold and oil and natural resources. Right. I think they're getting ready potentially for a huge devaluation. So currency wars could be upon us. Dave, we're going to have you back on next week. Amazing analysis. Where do people go? You put your charts up on Getter all the time. Where do people go to get them?
Yep, I'll put them all up today. Brad Economics and what you just said, there's extended articles I'll post. What you just said is right. They're hoarding commodities, and none of it is designed to help us. It's all designed to hurt us, as the whole show focused on today. So Brad Economics on Getter, and I got an email there. Get me. I'm going around the country giving talks, and get me if you want me to come to a city near you. Thank you all. God bless.
Okay, fantastic. Dave, Brad, and thank you for your for the big picture. Very few people can go from the spiritual and religious down to the nuts and bolts of the Chinese economy, of how they're hoarding. And there's something big. China, the transition to the consumer economy didn't work. They knee-jerk back to what they know. It's a command and control economy with state capitalism. Remember, the Chinese families, the five factions that own the Chinese Communist Party, are the wealthiest on earth. I know that makes Lao Bajing incredibly angry, but that's just the facts. There's something going on there. They're preparing for a kinetic war. They're preparing the South China Sea. They're preparing in the Taiwan Straits. They've got a whole plan in the island chains. So it's if it's not put down here, because they're one of the key parts, if not the key part, of folks in back of this, of funding what's happening in these colleges. So it's outrageous. Dave Brat, honored to have you on here. Your range, as I say in baseball or in sports or in acting, your range is unbelievable, sir. Dave Brat. And to take that much time on a Saturday. Mike Lindell, are you in your orchard? Where in the hell are you? You come up here in Mar-a-Lago one day, you're some other beautiful place the next day. Where are you?
I'm in Texas right now. And I'm not relaxing, everybody. I've got I've been working on a new plan that we're going to do in all 3,143 counties. It's my new Flipping Democrats project. And as long as we're approaching all the counties anyway, you can get out in front of this, everybody, and look at, check it out at lindellplan.com. Steve, you have so many groups going after our base and the independents. We're going right into the heart of the Democrats, and we're getting them over to the compensation.
Hang on. What do you mean? What do you mean flipping Democrats? How are you going to flip? How are you flipping Democrats?
We're going to educate them. We're going to say, hey, because their eyes are open now. They're open to hearing all the problems we have. They can see it right in front of them. And we've been doing this on a small level. I just spent a lot of time, remember, in Chicago about a month ago, and it was overwhelming. Everybody was flipping to this common sense bucket of Donald Trump. So we're going to take what we learned from them. And we're going to go with all my teams. We have over 3,000 or 300,000 people in all 50 states. Approach every county. We're going to work in every county for the next 4 months and work on flipping these Democrats to the common sense bucket. A lot of it just involves educating them. Educating. What is the new Republican Party of common sense? What is this? What is it going to manifest to? And we already have an example of that. We have December of 2019 before they gave us the China virus. We had what politics can be to help all people, not just a party or no people.
Mike, hang on. I'm holding you to the breaker and come back to talk about deals. But he just nailed something right there. And people talk about this all the time. If you go back and remind people the headwinds Trump had in his first term and what the summer and fall and Christmas of 2019 was, and those numbers, the 3.5% economic growth, the wages of working class and non-college graduates, the low interest rates, right? Incredible. Low inflation, low interest rates, real economic growth, and done with Trump. And Janet Yellen was the Fed chair, taking almost $1 trillion of liquidity out of the system, shrinking the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. Stunning. stunning. Back in a moment.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
You know, with all this uncertainty, make sure that your health is also not jeopardized. You saw this the other day, a guy, I think a former police officer, died because he couldn't get the chemotherapy drugs in the United States of America. This is only increasing. This is just not the supply chains in China, the whole complex system. There's something wrong. You know, I had Dr. Sean on the other day. But what we provided, just go over to Jace Medical, jace.com, and just go to Jace, J-A-S-E, and immerse yourself in the information there. Find out more about it, particularly for the drugs you need every day. But there's something seriously, seriously wrong. Nobody can quite put their finger on it, but seriously wrong about the supply chain on medicines and drugs. This is more than hurricanes hitting. This is more than cyber. There's something deeply wrong. We're going to try to get some reports on that in the coming weeks. But go to Jace Medical in the meantime. Dr. Sean, the team. Mike Lindell, our audience, it's a Saturday morning. We're finishing now with artificial intelligence and energy is going to blow people's heads up with actually what they're thinking, or what's actually happening versus what they're planning for. They want to talk deals. Give me a deal.
Well, we're going to extend the deal that we have exclusive for the War Room Posse, everybody, and that's a free multi-use MyPillow 2.0, absolutely free. If that's all you want, just pay the lowest shipping price, and you get that. And then all the other deals you got that are, if you pull up the one, I use this multi-use MyPillow 2.0, there it is. It's a $40 to $39.98 value, you guys. If you've never tried a MyPillow before, or if you've never tried a MyPillow 2.0, I use this pillow, specific pillow, everywhere. Couch, traveling, at home, it doesn't matter. You can, and no purchase necessary. This is a War Room exclusive. We're going to run it through the weekend at least. Use promo code War Room. And if you go to the website now, scroll down to you see Steve there. All these specials, the $25 specials, are still there. That's the premium where it all started. Over 80 million sold. $25, king or queen, doesn't matter. The sheets over there are still on sale for $25, as low as $25. It's our $25 extravaganza with all the slide zippers and sandals, $25. Kitchen towels, bath towels, $25. Remember, the War Room Posse, we ran out of the one towel, so we put our premium ones. They're normally $99 for the War Room Posse, $25. So, Steve, the War Room Posse has made it all possible that I can sit here and get this plan ready and have a piece about it, that my factory is at full production because of all of you, and you're getting the best rest and best sleep ever. Keep my operators busy today. They work on weekends, 800-873-1062. There's so much confidence at MyPillow right now that everybody's getting great sleep.
Let's load them up. We're going to get you back on. I want to talk every day about this flipping independents and Democrats. You're the kind of guy who can do it because you're kind of a man of the people. The people don't think of you as some stiff country club Republican. Mike Lindell, great work over the weekend. We'll see you on Monday, brother. MyPillow.com.
All right.
Promo code WARM. Special deals all over the place. Mike Lindell's going out of his way to thank those people that had his back during some of the darkest days in the country. Okay, Larry Fink, one of our favorites. New MAGA Larry Fink. That's who's trying to be a MAGA adjacent. Let's go ahead and play this.
And I do believe to properly build out AI, we're talking about trillions of dollars of investing. So data centers today could be as much as 200 megahertz. And they're now talking about data centers are going to be 1 gigawatt. That's what powers a city. There was one tech company that I spoke to the CEO last week who said, right now, with all their data centers, is about 5 gigawatts. By 2030, they need 30 gigawatts. 30. The amount of power that's needed to use AI has huge impact on society. Yeah. Where's that power going to come from? Are we going to take it off the grid? What does it mean for elevated energy prices for everybody else if it's that? I think it's going to represent some huge societal questions that we have not addressed, the negative side. Forget about the use of it, but just the generation of it is massive power. Okay, but that is a huge investment opportunity so that we the world is going to be short power. Short power.
There's so much to... Okay, so Joe... Allen, the AI, our AI editor, and Walsh, we're going to get together over the weekend and then next week. We're going to come and hopefully maybe take an hour on the 6 o'clock show and break this whole thing down. But I just had to get to this. And Dave, just what he said right there, that is because there's so many in the climate cult sphere that think they're so much smarter than MAGA. MAGA is a bunch of rubes that breathe through their mouths and wear bib overalls and wear red ball caps. Right. And say Donald Trump is God. Right. That's what they think. They're so bright. If you look at what Larry Fink's talking about right there of the plans already for AI as they look forward, just the investment to get the computing power. But then when you get the computer ability to do it, the algorithms to do it. But then when you look at the data centers and actually the power to drive it. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right there, it's insane. You literally change the entire structure of societal, the foundations of society. It requires so much power, unless you go to immediately nuclear power, or if they come up with nuclear fusion. Am I wrong? Because everything they're talking about on the power side is absolutely different than what Larry Fink's talking about having to go. And you have the AI engine that's driving everything right now. Dave Walsh, make it make sense to us.
Well, for sure, it's true. I mean, server centers, when they hit 12, 14 years ago, or 300-400 megawatt power consumers, really big ones, we built for Dominion, Warren County Energy Center up west of Reston, about 1,500 megawatts to support growing server center need up near western northern Virginia. Now these AI facilities, 2 to 3 times the energy consumption.
Hold it, stop. Hold it. Let's be blunt. You're up there building the power for the deep state. Reason they need it, that's the center of the deep state, baby. That's the Pentagon suburban office. But continue on.
Yeah. Well, but now the AI, you're talking about facilities with, he's right, 600 to 1,000 megawatts each. Huge. 1,000 megawatts powers about 1 million people. So, yeah, a city. Now, remember, BlackRock invests in everything. They're also an investor in independently owned power plants. They've always been independent power projects, wind, solar, and gas-fired combined cycle. They're an investor in everything, including power generation. So he's correctly pointing out that with this kind of energy demand coming up with server centers and AI, there is no way solar and wind that are part-time intermittent resources, wind 37% of the time, solar operates 20% of the time, 19% of the time, that deficient energy will not work for mass use of power.
Hold it. Hang on. Hey, whoa. Yes, I agree. The plan that they're talking about, the climate plan. But right now, if you hit his, forget the craziness of the climate plan. If we were hitting on all cylinders, all power would essentially be taken for AI. You'd have to have a fundamental restructuring of agriculture and transportation and basically just the way we live. Would we not, or have I done the math wrong?
Yeah, no, this is just another incremental adder on top of massive power consumption. Massive power consumption also, of course, by individuals and residents, but pulp and paper, aluminum, very heavy user of power, steel making, petrochemical plants, refineries, automaking, hospitals, all existing huge users of electricity. We're in short supply for traditional consumers already. there's a boom underway right now across the utility industry of now buying gas turbines for simple cycle use to augment the shortage created by wind and solar. We've really effectively built very few new major power plants in this country in the last 6 years, 5 to 6 years. Now we're in short supply already. Most regions calling for 6 to 7% electricity growth in the next year, demand growth in the next year. The whole 10-year plan with the renewables boom is only 4.5% growth in 10 years of electricity supply.
Hold on.
We're in a horrible place right
now. Hang on. We're in a horrible place. And if you follow what Larry Fink's saying on AI, we're going to be in a more horrible place. Last question. You're saying gas turbines. You've been telling us gas. My destroyer was a gas turbine, the first the U.S. Navy ever built. So I'm very familiar with gas turbines. I thought the Biden regime was taking out gas stoves out of federal buildings and don't want any more gas stoves. At the same time that the industry is actually going back to gas and gas turbine?
The Biden administration also wants to shut down gas-fired power generation by the mid to late 30s. They've said this repeatedly, but it is the only technology left in the near term to provide baseload, continuous duty, and intermediate power. There's nothing else. That now that they're going to shut down the balance of our coal supply, which is an increasing disaster, if Fink is right, and he appears to be right, based on overall demand, we're not making demand. This is what I've been saying for 3 years. The only way out of this for the next 10 years is to build out a lot more gas-fired generation because, as we've talked before, Amen. The reciprocal of the time that these renewables don't work, the only thing left to do is install gas turbines to meet the deficiency of time that renewables don't work, which is, again, 80% of the time solar doesn't work and wind 70% of the time doesn't work. So that's not what's
You're
happening.
You're going to see Dave Walsh is going to be 100% right in this whole thing. Walsh, where do we get to you on social media, brother? You're a prophet.
You can find me on Getter at Dave Walsh Energy and True Social the same. Thank you, Steve.
Dave Walsh has become one of the most brilliant guys in this country about talking about energy. He's been dead spot on since he started on the show a couple of years ago, and now it's all becoming clear of what has to happen. If you look at Larry Fink and what the whole fantasy on artificial intelligence, the dangerous fantasy, restructuring of all society. Okay, Philip Patrick, Birch Gold, we're going to talk capital markets. We're going to talk monetary theory, fiat currency, all of it. He's just about up. Also, get yourself a big pot. Maybe now's the time to do it. Warpath Coffee, warpath.coffee, War Room 4400, I think. Reviews by your compatriots. Once you read them, you'll want to get some coffee and you'll never go back. Sacred Human Health, my grass-fed beef liver. Get that bolt of energy you need on a Saturday morning to stay up to speed with the War Room. Philip Patrick joins us from Birch Gold next. You're not going to want to miss this. Capital markets and the economy next in the War Room.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, welcome back. Now, Philip Patrick. Now, Philip Patrick falls into a category of like Mike Davis and Naomi Wolf and Caroline Wren and Dave Bratt and Dave Walsh and you know, a couple of dozen others, people we've had on the show. many times over years that are now becoming rock stars, and so it's very hard to book. Philip, I'm so glad to get you. Now we got you on the Saturday show. Is it just so intense during the week, given everything that's happening in the markets, everything is happening in gold? Is that it? Just makes it just too, because I know you deal with customers. We send people to you all the time. The feedback we get, but is it just too intense? It used to be like that for me when I was working as an investment banker. I said it's just too much going on during the week. You got to get to me on the weekends. Is that reality now at Birch Gold?
It is getting crazy, Steve. I think people are waking up to the realities of Biden's economy, and they are taking action to protect themselves. And that means busy days, but it's all for the good. So very happy, and very happy to be on a Saturday.
This is one of the reasons I want to have you on. You know, Rogoff put out this piece that I've talked about in last night's show, and then again earlier this morning, was on the magical thinking on debt. Remember, he's the guy that's really, I think, in our business, when you look as people have watched capital markets, he wrote the seminal book. I think the book's got to be 10 years old now. It's called This Time Will Be Completely Different, or something like that. And he and his Harvard colleague went back, I think they went back 1,000 years, but they went to every different major empire or major country. And whether it's a dictatorship or a democracy or a republic, or they all had the same line. When their borrowing gets so much and it goes over really the line of their GDP, they always tell each other, and they always say, hey, this time is completely different for the following reasons. And it never is. I think he's got 100% hit ratio. And he finally came out with this piece that said, this is going to be the end of magical debt thinking. And essentially one of his things was about modern monetary theory. It's just what's been accepted by our betters. And when I say that, the War Room Posse, this is a working class, middle class. These are people that get, I mean, we have hedge fund managers and TV bidders. A lot of people watch the show so they can pick up what's going on. But the reason MAGA and the reason the guy wrote the book, Finish What We Started, about this movement and this show particularly, is the fact that people are engaged in what's happening, but they want to understand the economy. And, you know, this whole thing of modern monetary theory and other theories that were put to work are so out of control. And people just sit there with their common sense and go, I don't understand this. How can they go on? But I need to get stability in my financial life. And it looks like gold's been a hedge for, I don't know, 8,000 years of up and downs of everything that's in the book that Rogoff wrote in his warning. And so, hey, for the first time, and many of these people, most people are not gold bugs. I mean, they're not people that followed Ron Paul or believe that we should go back to a gold-back economy. But there are people sitting there going, hey, I can see the purchasing power of my dollar just getting destroyed every day. What do you have to say to them?
I mean, look, it's fairly obvious, right? Jamie Dimon called the debt the most predictable crisis ever. And it is exactly that, right? At the end of the day, this is essentially how every empire in history has collapsed, from the Roman Empire up until World War II. People have to realize the government isn't Santa Claus, right? Deficit spending doesn't create wealth. All it does is devalue every other dollar bill in existence. And what we're seeing on the back of that is inflation, right? And inflation is the most regressive sort of tax. What it does is disproportionately punish the poorest people who own the few assets and actually makes them dependent on the government. There's a reason that Lenin called banknote printing press the machine gun of communism. He said, and this is a direct quote, he said, by a continuing process of inflation, government can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. And it's a route that autocracies have gone down time and time again. Does this ring any bells, right? Consider the situation we're in at the moment. Nearly half the job growth over the last 3 years has been in government jobs, because of course we've got to provide services for all those immigrants flooding over the border. Inflation is essentially how the government steals from everybody, a little at a bit at a time, to transfer wealth to their supporters. Inflation creates winners and losers. 99% of American people will be the losers. The government and their cronies, 1%, will be the winners. But this has never worked in history, right? Like I said, from the Roman Empire up until today, it ends in one way, and that is destruction of currency, and it doesn't bode well for our long-term prospects. And by the world, the world is waking up. We have a world now actively de-dollarizing because they see the writing on the wall.
When you see, and I think the reason Rogoff put this out, when you see Biden's current plan and the acquiescence in this, and I started the show with this, so people have to bear with me, but it's the reason I'm so adamant about a motion to vacate on Johnson, because we have to take a stand here. McCarthy went because of the debt deal he did. He gave Biden unlimited spending and unlimited deficits until past the 2024 election for 2 years. Johnson's just continued that, right? Johnson's just continued that. Their strategy, both at the Fed and with Janet Yellen, the Biden regime, so the executive branch, but a compliant Congress, because they're in on the fix, sure, is essentially to continue to run these deficits, to have the embedded inflation, to basically inflate their way out of this, and in doing so, crush, because of drop in purchasing power, to crush the working class and middle class, to do it on their backs. Is there any doubt in your mind, from the empirical evidence that you have seen, that that is their plan and that that will be their outcome, sir? That will be the outcome, sir?
Absolutely not. Like I said, this is the most predictable problem ever. And yet they continue down this path. And the numbers are getting worse, not better, right? In the fourth quarter of 2023, the Treasury issued $7 trillion in new debt in just 3 months. Right. For the entire year, it came to $23 trillion total. That's a combination of new spending and rolling over old debt. There are now $27 trillion in government IOUs floating around, up 60% since the pandemic, and one third of them have fresh ink on them. At this point, we've got a federal debt rising by $1 trillion every 90 days. It's an absurdity. And all of this, when the world, like I said, is actively de-dollarizing. There is no excuse for such wasteful spending outside of the more nefarious. As you mentioned, there is only one way to really combat $35 trillion in debt, and that's to inflate it away. And yes, it's positive for the debt, but who suffers? It's the American people. We're the ones that suffer the consequences. It's the way it's always been, and it's the way it's playing out now.
You see, this is the de-dollarization is not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem, because they all have, in the central banks and the governments, they have guys that went to Sloan. They have guys that went to Harvard. They have guys that went to Stanford and, to Dalton and to University of Chicago. They have all those people, and they have the HP-12C. They can run the numbers. This is not quantum mechanics. It's pretty straightforward. The de-dollarization. See, Philip, we've been called, this show and this audience, in fact, on the subtitle of the book, Finish What We Started, the MAGA movement's ground war to end democracy, to end democracy. He makes the case in the entire book of how this is actually how democracy works at the grassroots. We've been called on the America First side, the agents of chaos and everything, because we want to destroy the post-war international rules-based order. That order, more than the trade deals and the commerce, even more than the American military security underwriting that's cost us trillions and trillions, the underpinning of that, sir, is it not Bretton Woods and the dollar is the prime reserve currency, and are not the same people that hector this audience every day about how they're anarchists and order and agents of chaos? Are they not the ones destroying the dollar? And you can see it in the BRICS nations. The global South is saying, yo, we understand what's going on here, and we're not going to be a participant in it. Philip Patrick.
Look, de-dollarization isn't the problem. It's the effect of the problem, right? Demand is getting killed by external forces, but we're killing the dollar domestically. We are creating the argument for governments around the world. And look at what's happening, right? On the back of sanctioning Ukraine, China are now buying oil from Saudi Arabia in Chinese yuan. The petrodollar, which gave the dollar a lot of its strength, this is a sacrosanct agreement from the 70s up until today, is effectively over. And the reality is, you know, if I'm in charge of the BRICS nations economy, it doesn't make sense for them to hold dollars anymore. And when it doesn't rationally make sense, it's no wonder the world, like I said, is actively de-dollarizing. But the problems are here. It's this administration that are making the argument easy for governments around the world, and I don't think de-dollarization is a train we can stop. And at the end of the day, that is a big problem when this administration is hell-bent on increasing dollar supply. At the end of the day, currency strength is dictated at a basic level by two things, supply and demand. And when we have an administration that is actively pushing to increase supply while the rest of the world is moving away from the dollar and killing demand, like I said, this only ends one way. It's only ended one way throughout history. And they know it.
I want to go back. You're saying the de-dollarization, you don't see that. You see that process not only not stopping, but accelerating?
Yeah, I do. At the end of the day, we're fueling it, right? Domestic policy, increasing the money supply significantly leads to a devaluation of currency, right? The dollar's lost 17% of its purchasing power since the pandemic. Gold is up over 20% in that same time period. Why on earth would you hold a plummeting dollar when you can hold an asset that increases in those climates? Secondly, as we said before, by seizing Russia's assets, we essentially told our enemies, you make a decision that we disagree with. Your assets can become liabilities overnight. Not only that, we could give them to your enemies to fight against you. Why rationally would you continue to hold dollars in a climate like that? It doesn't make sense. The BRICS are now committed to doing it. The petrodollar essentially is no longer, and I think that will continue. And as that continues, we'll start to see a weaker dollar over time. The weaker the dollar becomes, ultimately, the weaker the longer-term argument for the dollar as a global reserve currency will become. I think we're a ways away from that. The dollar is still, I've said it before, the tallest midget in the room. But as de-dollarization continues, as supply continues to increase, that argument won't be as strong anymore. And we lose that official status, the game is up.
You're saying, and the canary in the mine shaft is the petrodollar. People, when we're the prime reserve currency, that means every transaction in the world has to be converted into dollars to take place, whether you're giving to a charity in South America, an orphanage in South America, or whether you're completing a drug deal in Thailand, right? The good and the the dollar works for the good and the not good in this world. It is the principal source of a currency. It's all translated. And right now you see in the petrodollar, what they're doing is baskets of currencies, even sometimes taking the currency risk. They're working out every different way they can get off the dollar. Now, as Philip says, the dollar's prime reserve currency not going to end overnight, but it's that increasing de-dollarization that's going to add to the turmoil. Let's take a short commercial break. I'm going to ask Philip when we get back. For those people that don't know anything about precious metals, are not gold bugs, don't want to go back to the gold standard, how do they begin to understand this, and how do they begin to get access to the information really in this time of turbulence? Because in times of turbulence, the smartest people in the world look for what's called a hedge, right? A hedge against that turbulence. That's what gold has been for 8,000 years. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're lucky to have Philip Patrick from Birch Gold on today. Short break, back in a moment.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video. War Room.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, Philip Patrick joins me. Philip, so I want to walk through the concept of what a hedge is. And this is for people, even if you've purchased gold before, if you got some gold, or particularly if you're not what we call a gold bug, or one of these people not always hammering, which I know some people in the war room posse are, for to go back to the gold standard. I know now, like we have Jim Rickards as one of our contributors now over at, and if you want to get more about Jim, go to rickardswarroom.com for his strategic intelligence newsletter. I recommend everybody go check it out. You get a free, if you order, you get a free, the currency war book, which to me was the definitive book that came out about 12 years ago. And Jim teaches economic warfare at the Army War College, I think it is. You know, Rickards is not a gold bug. He's not a gold standard guy. He said, you know, hey, I'm looking at gold and buying gold more than ever. I have a couple of hedge fund guys I know that are among the smartest people I know about capital markets. For the first time in the history of their hedge funds, they're putting a significant amount of money in gold as a hedge. The central banks of the world, 22, 23, and now in the first couple months of 24, record rates or near record rates of the purchase of gold. With their financial analyst at the banks that all went to Stanford, all went to Harvard, coming up with this, at least a portion of their assets, they say the Chinese are on an all-time buying binge. Why is it for people who are not gold bucks? What did we mean by hedge, and why are other big institutional entities and high net worth individuals, why are they reverting back to something that we thought was just a relic of the Sumerian Empire? Right, in the Egyptians. Well, why is that happening in the 21st century when, you know, Larry Fink is talking about artificial intelligence every day, sir?
Look, you know, what does a hedge mean? It is a form of, it's a financial term for protection, or essentially a form of insurance. And the reason that people are looking at gold today is simply because of the nature of our problems, right? We mentioned before 2022, 2023, single biggest years for gold buying in central bank history. And the reason that they're buying them, part of it is de-dollarization, as we mentioned. But the other part is, In a way, they're facing the same challenges that we are: economic uncertainty, inflation, a loss of purchasing power. Central banks need dollars for international trade, but they don't want to hold dollars. They're watching a federal government print it into oblivion, and they're hedging their dollar exposure using gold, because these same problems that we talk about, right? We talk inflation, we talk dollar devaluation, we talk the potential for recession. These things all function as very positive drivers for safe haven commodities, right? Inflation drives gold and silver up. When dollars go down, gold goes up, right? So they're a very good way to protect against the specific problems that we have. And, you know, I've never seen a more conducive climate for gold and silver than the ones I see today. The other side of it is, in this climate, the options out there to hedge are so limited, right? When we were worried before about the domestic economy, we could look at emerging markets or European markets as a hedge. What we have today is a global recession, right? So given the lack of options, given the nature of our problems, precious metals in this climate are about, well, maybe not the only way, but certainly the best way to hedge against the problems that we have. And that is why hedge funds, as you mentioned, who traditionally have been looking at other assets, are really focusing in on precious metals today, because they really suit the climate that we're in.
I know you're one of you're the lead analyst over there for Birch. Just before we bounce on a Saturday, Andrew Ross Sorkin, the New York Times columnist that sits in on every morning on CNBC, is one of the major voices kind of in the business community understanding economics. He's the columnist over there for that, and very well read. He said on CNBC on the morning Squawk Box about a week ago, he said, look, there's really nothing Biden or the Fed can do between now and Election Day. And people have to understand, when I say Election Day, you know, early voting, I think ballots get dropped in North Carolina, I think it is, September 10th. So, you know, people start voting here in September and October, a lot of people. Sorkin said that, he said, hey, particularly that's a quite liberal, you know, with Jim Cramer in that crowd. He said, look, you got to face facts. When you look at what's there, there's not a lot that's going to change. There's not a lot that's going to change about inflation for the better. There's not a lot that's going to change about prices. There's not a ton that's going to change about employment and the gap between wages and real wages. There's not a lot that's going to change about capital markets. It's kind of, he's not predicting stock markets or bond markets. He said these forces are so big and so embedded that until there's a change, and that change would be Trump, there's not going to be a lot of things that change between now and at least an election day. Is that also your belief?
Yeah, I agree vehemently. And it's because of the sheer number of problems. It's put the Federal Reserve in a very tough position. I mean, what can they do, right? If they raise interest rates, it means torpedoing the banks, right? We saw what happened to SVB. We saw what happened with Republic First just a few days ago, right? Lowering interest rates means surrendering the fight to inflation. And the reality is they just cannot do that when official inflation numbers are double the Federal Reserve target. So what option does it leave them? It leaves them, I think, the only option, which is to leave rates where they are and see this continuation of the inflationary trend. But the reality is, from the Fed's perspective, there are no good options at the moment. So I agree. I don't expect anything dramatic to change between now and the election. If we don't get the result we want in the election, I don't see any changes moving forward. So 2024, as we've said many times, is the most important election of my lifetime. But I'm not expecting anything crazy, just a continuation of this same nonsense between now and November.
If there's not a dramatic, and I mean dramatic, it's one of the reasons we're on this motion to vacate, and we were the ones leading the fight against the debt ceiling fight. If there's not a dramatic change in trajectory, this is going to end in tears. You can see it. It's plain, like Philip Patrick says. He says this is the most recognizable crisis that's ever come to the United States. It's predicted, forecast. You can see the math. The math is at such large scale that it's going to be very tough to change. We got to bounce. I know you do too. Thank you for taking time here on a Saturday morning. Philip, where do people go to get you if they want to talk to you directly?
Very simple. So birchgold.com/Bannon. That'll get information on precious metals, how to invest. And you can reach me directly at Philip Patrick on Getter.
Philip, just absolutely incredible. Thank you. And thank you for all the support. I hear all the time from folks that just love the guidance and counsel you guys are giving them. So thank you very much. Love to have you guys as a sponsor.
Thank
you. Okay. I'll be up on Getter all weekend. There's so much going on. Just on Getter, I'll be putting up maybe Grace and Mo, maybe even coming for a live chat. You never know. We're going to be streaming a lot of stuff this weekend. Just stick around and watch War Room. We'll be back live 10 a.m. on Monday morning. Next week, we'll be absolutely on fire. See you then.
Tax Network USA is pure War Room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.